All right. So this is the noon Eastern PSS group on Friday, December 18th, the day after the new Star Wars movie came out. And we're going to be talking about managing triggers today. Have you seen the new one yet?
No, not yet.
Nope, you have plans to?
We want to, yeah. Hopefully over the break.
Yeah. Yeah, us too. I'm embarrassed to admit that my husband and I had tickets for the 11:30 showing last night, and we were too tired to go.
Aww.
So, yeah, we had a couple of holiday performances with the kids last night, and then our daughter, anyway, you know how that goes.
Exciting, though.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Jennifer, are you here?
I am.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I mean,
good. Have you seen the new Star Wars movie yet?
Tomorrow at 4:40 Pacific time.
Rock on.
Yes. We're going with, we have a three-generation tradition that we are continuing. So, Grandpa.
Awesome.
And me and my sister and my son are all going to.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. You guys went to all the other ones together, too?
My dad, yes, yes, we did.
He's
made
Star Wars fanatic.
Funny efforts to go. We don't dress up and we don't. You know.
It's okay if you do. I won't tell anybody or make fun of you. I promise.
No, I don't have that much energy.
I hear you. Yeah, my mom took us out of school when the new Star Wars movies came out. So, like, when Return of the Jedi came out, she took us out of school as kids. So
that's
been
super
a big
fun.
To get to go. Yeah, so she's going to go with us, but we couldn't get – she wanted to have a reserved seat. So we're not going until Tuesday. Because that was the soonest we could get group tickets. So I was just saying that I could have gone last night, but I was too tired. All right, so enough about Star Wars. Sorry. I get a little distracted and excited. All right, it's just the three of us for now. Calls have been kind of hit and miss this week, I think, because of the holidays and stuff going on at schools and stuff. So we're just going to dig right in, and if other people join us, great. And if it's just the three of us, then we can make it a quick call. Or as long of a call as we need. How about that? So what do we want to celebrate? Kathleen, you were saying you had some systems and structures that you guys put in place. Was there anything that worked fabulously well?
I don't know about fabulously, but we have four children, so just trying to be a little bit more strict about this. Like a schedule or a routine for them as far as the evening time seems to have helped. I was flying a little bit solo this week, so I had to get the other kids down to help the oldest one study. And so just trying to, if they were not overtired, they were able to try to settle down. It was still late, but at least they were able to get down and move on to the other child. So. We're still having some bumps with, like, huge amounts of anxiety with tests, with all of the tests that come up at the end of the quarter.
Sure.
And trying to manage that. And I was able to keep my calm to some extent. I was still yelling a little bit, but I could understand, I guess, it's the trigger of why she was so upset and why I wasn't helping her and how she felt I wasn't helping her. But it was actually... You know, she had unrealistic expectations for me. I probably wouldn't have brought that up to her before, so it was good. I mean, I sort of said, you want me to know where this is in your book and to be able to reference it and to cite it, and I just don't have that expertise.
What did she say when you shared that with her? Was that an aha for her?
I think... You know, I tried to show her. I tried to go through the glossary and the index, and she told me I was in the wrong chapter. And I said, well, exactly. I had no idea what you're doing, and you can't expect me to. It was still very frustrating for her. I mean, she's used to having somebody kind of coddle her and be a private tutor. You know, her father's the private tutor, and I just couldn't do that for her. And so, I don't know. The grade was not great in social studies, so I don't know how much of an aha it was. But I wish I could have helped her more. But
no, Oh, it sounds like you did. And how great that she
It wasn't a
hobbit.
Everything. I probably shouldn't be the person to count on to study social studies. That was probably her aha out of the whole experience. And I guess that would be a celebration for me.
Yeah, there you go. You stay calm, right? Oh, too funny. Well, that'll be a good thing to take aim on or future, in the future or as we work through managing triggers today, maybe. Either a trigger for her or a trigger for you. We can see how that goes. Jen, how about you? What do you want to celebrate?
You know, I don't – this is our last day of school, like I'm sure a lot of people. And so I'm excited about that. I'm a little I don't really have anything to celebrate, but it's not because things are bad. It's just because it just sort of feels like it's a hectic time of year and there's a lot going on. And I'm starting a new job on January, 4th, whatever. And so it's going to have more responsibility and I'm going to be working more than I was. And so my anxiety around, well, if I'm not home as much, what does that do to the, the hamster wheel that is our life? And so I'm trying to not catastrophize, like, this is going to be a disaster and everything's going to fall apart. And so I'm working hard on that. And then I'm just also noticing, like, my patient, like, a little bit of expectation about the holiday is creeping in and wanting it to be a certain way. And then when something, happens, like my 6-year-old tells her brother what she got him for Christmas, which is a huge flashlight on a big present he's getting, which, and I was getting irritated and I thought, well, she's 6. Note to self, don't take her shopping 2 weeks before Christmas. Wait until, Christmas Eve. So just really trying to think about, like, where is this coming from and remembering that my higher value is our time together, and our time together won't be good if I'm yelling at people. So I think managing triggers is obviously a perfect thing. So my celebration is on the call, and I need some guidance.
Yay. Well, and like you said, things are going pretty well. This is a stressful time of year and there's nothing major happening. I mean, a new job is definitely major, but in terms of things that are, going awry, I think that's worth celebrating in and of itself. Sometimes neutral is a celebration,
Yeah.
Sometimes just being at baseline is a good thing, right?
No, I
Tammy,
think
I saw
true.
You joined us. Yeah.
Oh, Jen. Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, good. We're checking in.
Okay.
What do you want to celebrate?
Oh, to celebrate, sure. My son is in his junior year of college. He's 20. And he came home Wednesday night he came home. And he has some neurological stuff as well. And so we had gotten him, ready when he went to college, teach him how to ask for help, all kinds of things. And a lot of things went awry that last year in high school. He was really angry about his neurological stuff, and all of that. But anyway, he came home Wednesday night and he says, Mom, he says, I got to tell you something. He says, this has been a really hard semester for me. He said, he passed everything and all of that. But he said he had a really rough time and with some relationships and things like that at work and all of that stuff and keeping everything straight. But he said, he says, Mom, I reached out to my doctor at one of the hospitals. We had him in cognitive behavioral therapy and he used to Skype with the doctor. And yeah, so anyway, on his own, he went back to that. So that was great.
Oh my gosh. Wow,
I know.
That is great. That is definitely a celebration. Oh,
yep,
that's
and then
awesome.
And then his tics also got a lot worse this last semester, so he had me make an appointment at his neurologist.
Wow! So, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yes, it is. From where we were at, it is like miraculous. And so it was a huge.
Wow.
It was my Christmas present from him.
That's amazing.
He was really, really proud of himself. So I thought that was
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool on so many levels, right? I mean, because he had the self-awareness.
Oh, yes.
Recognize it, you know, first of all, recognize that he needed additional help, and then to go through and you know, schedule the appointment, at least with the CBT therapist on his own, and to ask you to take care of the neurologist. Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Yay.
Yeah.
Good job,
yeah,
Mama.
I know, right? I know, right? Yay.
Yay. That's great.
That's mine.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to talk about managing triggers today, which is always an appropriate thing for the holiday season, I think. But for me, it's appropriate all the time because it's I'm a recovering yeller, and I try really hard not to yell. My husband is as well, so we both try hard to not yell anymore, but it's we're still works in progress, as I think everyone is, right? So let's go back around and just talk about what we want to take aim on with respect to managing triggers. And we kind of touched on it already, a couple of us have. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is Jennifer. I was just going to say, mine is I really want the next 2 weeks. It doesn't have to be, you know, glorious Hallmark card time, but I don't want to spend it mad and yelling and, you know, doing the exact opposite of what I value and what my goal is.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Just kind of taking aim on the next 2 weeks pretty much as a time frame. Which we can do. And it's a lot of time, but really if we're talking about just managing ourselves, I think that's okay, because really the only one we can change is us, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathleen, how about you?
Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, just what do you want to take aim on? We kind of touched on it briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to stick with the
before? Yeah, I'd like to understand more about the triggers, sort of what they are. I mean, it seems like just getting better at identifying it.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Tammy, how about you?
Well, mine is that for these next couple of weeks, my sixth grader got triggered Monday, like later in the school day, and I got called to the principal's office and all of that. And so, you know, I've really been trying to be very compassionate about all of this and everything. And things are, you know, they do okay, and then he kind of comes unglued and all that kind of thing. And things are just changing a little bit. So I didn't really know how to handle him the last few days. So I didn't know, you know, I know I made a couple of mistakes, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to take things away or be more compassionate or anything like that. So I'm just kind of checking in with one of the doctors and trying to, you know, look into it a little more and then handle it the right way, being whatever it is. I asked him on a walk to school the other day, and I let him stay home for 2 days because he was really tired and really upset. And then he went to school yesterday because he had a big concert last night. And now he didn't go to school today either because he's very upset. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I'm sad and I'm angry and I don't know why." So I just have to look into it more and handle it the right way. But I am trying.
Yeah.
I'm really trying. It just changes much. It's just great. I think I know what I'm doing, and then it changes, and it's just frustrating.
Oh, no.
So anyway.
Well, hang in there. You know, it's nice when we get in those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it'll be okay. But
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Sometimes the last. Okay. I know sometimes, you know, for our complex kids, like a loss of structure, you know, or a loss of the approaching break and sort of the idea of really not knowing what we're going to be doing every day can, that in and of itself can cause a little bit of depression and anxiety. I've seen that happen with our kids and with other families too. And, you know, it's a tough one because it's the break, right?
I think so too. And I think they kind of try and get in all the big projects before the breaks too. And I think that's really stressful, too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the last week has been very stressful for, you know, people who have finals and there's lots of anxiety and probably lots of meltdowns, right? And so triggers, when we're talking about triggers, I mean, that's, I don't think that we need to really go into the definition, but, you know, your triggers or your buttons or when you're triggered or your buttons are pushed, you know, you're angry, a lot of times we yell, fly off the handle, say things we wish we hadn't. And the same thing is true for our kids, right? So we can look at this one of two ways. We can approach our conversation today from managing our own triggers and preventing them, and then also managing and identifying and preventing our kids' triggers. And the thing that's most important, I think, to remember is that we cannot parent effectively when we're triggered. We just can't. And when our kids are triggered, they can't effectively engage in problem solving. And the reason why is because anytime we're triggered, our brains completely shut down. We've talked about it before, but it's that primal flight or fight reaction, the amygdala hijack, as Elaine likes to call it. And you just completely lose access to the rational part of your brain. And that's also the part of your brain that controls executive functioning. So for those of us who are also adults with ADHD, that part of our brain is a little worn out already from working so hard to keep things together. And for our kids too, so that when, you know, your kid pushes your button that one last time around 8 o'clock at night and you've just had it, the rational part of your brain that said, hey, remember, you weren't going to yell this time. You were going to step outside and take some deep breaths. That completely goes away. And we can't get to it. So the most important thing for us all to remember when we're triggered is to recognize that we're triggered. Easiest thing to forget, most important thing to remember. And, you know, as we're talking and thinking about different areas that we're triggered in or different situations and scenarios, some people like to keep trigger journals or trigger logs for either yourself or for your child to kind of identify, you know, is it happening at a certain time? Is it happening in a certain situation? I mean, I think that, you know, for most of us, we've kind of gotten the basics down, you know, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, typical areas where we have meltdowns, transitions, right? And we've probably put some systems and structures in place to prevent those or to help minimize those as much as possible. But there may be some other areas that we're missing, and particularly as our kids get older, they get a little more nuanced. And so sometimes keeping a trigger journal is helpful. Let's see, for me, I know I started keeping a trigger journal also because I noticed that I was really getting triggered a lot in the evening, and I couldn't really figure out why other than the fact that, you know, we're tired and cranky, but I changed my ADHD medication a couple months ago, and for whatever reason, when it was wearing off, I was getting much crankier than normal because I'm typically a happy person. So if I hadn't been kind of keeping track of it and trying to figure out what was different, I may not have made the connection so soon, which is good. So I encourage you to do that if you haven't already. Let's see. So we'll go through the steps real quick, and then we'll kind of circle back and break them down one by one. And we've talked about this one before. So step one in terms of managing your triggers, again, is recognizing you're triggered. And then the second step is reclaiming your brain or getting back to your rational brain or back to neutral or baseline. And there's lots of things we can do to reclaim our brains. I'm going to, like I said, go through the next couple steps, and then we'll come back and talk about things that you guys like to do to calm yourselves down. Step three is choosing a perspective that's different from the story that you're telling yourself. So a lot of times we, you know, why do they always do that? These are the stories that we're telling ourselves in our heads. You know, wake up in the morning and the dishes are still in the sink and the kitchen is still full of trash and you ask them to take the trash out, whatever. And you can just keep going and going and going and finding things throughout the house that bug you and kind of cause you to melt down. And that's the story that we tell ourselves in our heads. And so step three, again, is choosing a different perspective, finding a positive perspective that is also true or a different perspective that is also true that helps us to see the situation in a new light. And then step three is going to be taking action based on that new perspective. So if we back up a little bit and you think about the times that you're triggered or your kids are triggered, what are some things that you have done or that you typically do to calm your brain down, to get back to that rational phase where you can have a conversation? Just chime in.
Walk away.
It's a great one. Take deep breaths. They always tell us to focus on the exhale. The exhale should be longer than the inhale if we're calming down. had a woman on a call yesterday who she blows up balloons. I just thought that was fascinating. Mm-hmm. She carries balloons around, and when she gets triggered or her kids get triggered, they pull out balloons and they blow them up. I thought that was awesome. Diane likes to talk about water and the connection with water and calming your brain down. And we may have touched on this before, so my apologies if this is a repeat. But I just think it's such a cool visual that because when we're triggered, it's a primal reaction, right? The drinking water when you're triggered is also a primal response, in that in some way it pulls up a memory of the watering hole, a primal memory. And so if we're at the watering hole, we're safe. So sipping water when you're triggered actually helps calm us down. I haven't tried that one, but I'm curious to hear if that works.
When I notice he's getting really triggered, I try and I walk away. I usually go down to the basement or something and roll away mm-hmm. from him. And I try and go through all the steps, you know, that you guys teach, just to make sure that mm-hmm. I it kind of calms me down, but it gets me back into the right perspective, you know, and mm-hmm. what to watch for and how to help mm-hmm. him. So,
awesome.
And then when it happens at school, because it does happen at school quite a bit, and they call me, you know. So what I do is I walk to school instead of drive to school, so that I can I can play everything through my head as of what mm-hmm. to do. And it works really
love
well.
It.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I love that. So it's also some self-talk, right? So you're getting some fresh air, you get some exercise, and there's some self-talk. It's several things all at once, but it's great.
Right. Right, that's because awesome. it puts me in, like, the present. You know, it puts me with just me and my kid instead of, you know,
mm-hmm.
how things have happened before, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so
that's
kind of
a great
like
point.
Starting all over again. It's good.
Yeah. No, I like that. It's like a reset. It's really
exactly.
easy to be like, this happens all the time. Why does this keep happening? It's so easy to go to that place. So I like that.
Right.
That kind of, it's a mental and physical reset. I like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Any other ideas or suggestions on calming your brain?
I have a question, and if this isn't the right time for it, then
no, bring it on.
So I've actually, this is good. My little aha is going to be, I've always thought of the managing triggers as a me thing, in terms of connecting it with me being set off and yelling. And so what do I do about that? But I'm thinking of it now in terms of, because my 11-year-old, about to be 12, is,
mm-hmm.
he does have, it seems very quick, and you're right. I mean, I do feel like we've taken care of the it's after school, you're hungry. And he's
mm-hmm.
still – so his big thing is his sister. His sister just drives him nuts. And she's very savvy, even though she's only
mm-hmm.
6, and knows how to push his buttons, and, like, will – like, she'll just look at you and then do the thing that you've said to do because you're fucking your brother.
Right.
And so, you know, our response – I mean, that's, like – She triggers him, which then triggers me, because our response is just control yourself, which I'm realizing now he's not in a place he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of I've been thinking of it as more of a behavioral thing, like you need
mm-hmm.
to get along with your sister and you're just being difficult, as opposed
mm-hmm.
to whatever the thing is, like his executive function issues, he's missing that whatever the thing is, he gets to that place really quickly, and he doesn't know what to do, and we're not helping him by yelling at him, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
mm-hmm.
my question
– No, exactly.
That is my preface to my question of what – like, how do you – do you have suggestions about how you talk to someone else about – who's, you know, young?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you – I mean, and we've talked about your brain works differently, but we've mostly talked about that in the context of school and like actual learning things, not so much
mm-hmm.
in the context of, you know, maybe the reason you do this is because your brain operates differently. So like having him recognize, so we just do the same steps with him and just talk to him about it in the same format.
Like, mm-hmm.
You need to recognize, you know, this is what, when I see that, when you do, when your sister does this, this is what you do. And how does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some things you could do to walk away or take a drink or breathe or whatever? And because I don't know that like the step three choose a different perspective from the story that you're telling yourself. I don't think he has a story. His sister irritates
him. Okay.
So yeah. That's, I guess, my question. Like there's yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're asking if in terms of like prevention and what, how can you talk to him to help him sort of identify before he's getting triggered, right? And what he can do to either remove himself from the situation and or figure out a way to calm himself down in the midst of it. Because it sounds like there's not a lot of room there, right? There's not a lot of lead up time. Like she's
exactly.
just there and then he's angry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think I think you're on it exactly. And I think part of what you said about the story for yourself actually is probably going to be more helpful than you realize, because you said he's just not, I didn't realize he wasn't even there yet. Like he doesn't even have the capacity to understand that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard you say in terms of,
yeah.
You know, reacting to her?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah. he does have, I guess, I don't want to, I mean, he has capacity. It's just, I don't think we've framed it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's an opportunity to talk to him about the thing we've talked to him about, which is control yourself in a different way. In a
right.
different
Once
way.
Once he's triggered, he can't access that part, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. Instead of saying control yourself, we could say, so your brain does some things differently, and you can't control yourself when this thing happens, and so you have to think of a different thing to do, and we're going to
mm-hmm.
work on helping you think of a different thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe
okay.
maybe it does end up being a story. You never know. Or a different perspective for him. I mean, it's just going to kind of depend on what you see. And maybe your daughter, too. You know, if you guys can figure out a system or structure to put in place that either decreases the interaction around the times that they typically clash, which is probably like all the time. But there's
right.
a way to, you know, to separate them more or create situations where you know, whatever it ends up being,
yeah,
that may be
well,
part
for
of
her,
like your trigger prevention cheat sheet. Good.
I think the tricky thing with her is she does it because she adores him and she wants attention and she doesn't care what kind of attention it is. So
mm-hmm.
that it's like the separating them. It's almost like we need to create. As I'm saying this, I'm going to write it down. Like opportunities for them to have fun together. Which,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it's Thursday night,
6 and 11.
He's gone from one thing, and they already have a big age difference.
Yeah.
And he has homework, and we're tired, and like creating fun time can be tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I get it. Yeah. It is tricky. And then if you factor in the 3 to 5 year, you know, challenge, also, sometimes I think that's why they clash even more, is because they're kind of close. You know,
right.
Like, they're closer in
aspects,
age developmentally.
In some aspects, yes. That's very true. In some aspects. In other aspects, you know, it's, yeah, it's interesting. Okay.
It's
thank you.
Years. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So the story you're telling yourself, I mean, I think I'm with you. I think in some respect, it's more important for the adults in the scenario. I think it works for the kids too, because, you know, you're thinking about what could also be true in this scenario. You know, could he be telling himself that, well, my sister just wants to spend time with me and doesn't know how to engage with me or doesn't know
right.
how to talk to me because she's so much younger. And is there, you know, is there a way to put that in a positive perspective? It doesn't
and,
have to be like,
you
know, like you said, the
right.
Hallmark card, but there's something that's also true that allows an opportunity for a little more grace, right? Or for
right.
a little more.
Well, and if he could tell
approach.
Himself that story, then he could also be in, he gets some amount of control to say, okay, I'm not willing to play with you now. I'll play with you whenever, or I'm willing to play with
right.
you now but for 5 minutes or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or whatever the next step is. Yeah, absolutely. You know, in a couple of calls this week earlier, people have said things like, you know, they have post-it notes that they put up that say, assume best intentions.
Oh, right.
You know, instead of going straight to, oh my gosh, you know, he's doing this to me again, or she's doing this to me again, and why doesn't, you know.
Or really,
this,
frankly, I mean, I kind of said it myself, which is my assumption that she's doing it to get him in trouble. I mean, that's not really assuming.
Well, I mean, and that could be.
That could be true.
But I mean, if you back up, you know, if we assume that all kids want to do well, and that, you know, if for whatever reason they can't do well, it's not a matter of won't, you know, then that in and of itself sometimes is the shift that we need. If we go back to our Ross Green, that our kids aren't deliberately trying to piss us off and not deliberately trying to make things worse, that if they could handle themselves better, they would. And that's when, you know, when our son's melting down, one of the things that I try to remember too is that the meltdown is a cry for help. And that's what helps me not get triggered, because whatever is happening right now seems like the end of the world to him. And that is exactly how he's experiencing it, whether I can understand that or not. And he's terrified and he can't figure out how to handle this wave of emotion or input or whatever that's coming at him. And so the meltdown is asking for help. So if I can keep that perspective, that helps me to stay calm myself instead of being like, oh my God, are you doing this again? You know?
Right.
Well,
because when you think of it that way, you can't help but have compassion.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you can get to a place where you have compassion, then you can take action based on that new perspective, and that action is going to be more positive and hopefully more productive. What are some other ideas, guys, or who wants to kind of play maybe and give us an example of a story that you've been telling yourself in a way that you can shift it into a new perspective that's also true, but maybe a little more productive and helpful. And we can help you find that shift too if you're having trouble with one.
I could use some help with a new perspective with this whole study.
Go for it.
It's just the spiral. It's just when the studying starts and it seems overwhelming, just seems so big for this child. I think she can't get, it takes her a long time to spiral up and spiral down before she can calm down and realize that she can do it. But there's a lot of screaming, and she's triggered because she's got anxiety, and I'm stumped. It could be any day of the week. It could be any subject. It could be all parts of the day.
Okay.
But I'm trying to look for another perspective of it. A lot of it. It's obviously stress from either other classes or from sport. You know, sports that take away from study time, but that managing time. I mean, it's lots of things driving it, but.
So are we looking for a new perspective for you or for her?
Either.
Okay. So what are you telling yourself when she's melting down or as she's kind of spiraling up, let's say?
We try to just get her out of that, the do loop, because after she can get out of it, she can see through the trees again. She's not huffing and puffing, and she hasn't shut down. And I mean, she's shut down. She won't listen. She doesn't. But it's consistent. I mean, it's and it becomes a behavioral issue, because then she's screaming and kicking and acting angry, and you don't love me. You're not helping me. I mean, it just gets ugly. And we'll walk away. We'll do something else, and she'll start hitting and chasing and following
Gotcha.
I mean, that's reality. I mean, it doesn't sound like it should be that difficult or that painful, but
no, that's. I mean, we all have complex kids, and that happens in all of our houses, I would venture to say. I know it happens in my house. So, so when she shuts down, are you saying the shutdown is the acting out and the yelling, or is she shutting down before or after that happens? Just making sure I'm clear in the steps.
Yeah, I mean, when she's kidding, like screaming and crying, she's shut down. She's shut down once she starts seeing feeling overloaded, feeling overwhelmed.
Okay. And so is that what happens right before then? She just starts to feel overwhelmed and overloaded? Okay. And are you able to identify sort of what the trigger point is? Can it be at any point in sitting down, or is it when you're helping her, when your husband's helping her, or is there any specific point that seems to light the fire?
It's if we're not helping her, if we're not there, like not present, not devoted, not fully dedicated to her.
Okay.
So. And so I don't want to take away so much time.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. We're good. In that moment, what are you telling yourself as you're watching her kind of work up?
I hope this ends in an hour and not two.
Okay.
Hope I can get through this without hitting her. Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating. It's just angering. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
why do we have to cycle through this? If you know what's triggered, I mean, we've done things like organize your work, write it all down so you can cross it out visually, study
mm-hmm.
5 days in advance for a test so you're doing pieces of it at a time so it's not overwhelming for you, or
mm-hmm.
bought the textbook so you can write in it. I mean,
so the story is we've given you all of this help. Why are you still responding this way?
I mean, she's coping. I mean, she's trying. So I don't. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but she's not trying hard enough because she's still having these meltdowns. So.
Mm-hmm. So. What else could you be telling yourself?
What's triggering her?
What's
triggering her? I mean, why is she feeling like this? Why is she feeling so overwhelmed? What can we help her? How can we put this in a different perspective for her? I mean, is the way that we should be approaching it. So,
mm-hmm. Is she able to verbalize any of that to you?
It's verbalized as you're not helping me.
Okay. Can she? She knows what she needs, like she knows what would be helpful, or is she just not sure?
She wants a personal concierge. She wants all the attention.
Gotcha. Is it attention-based? Is it fear-based, do you think?
It's fear-based, for sure, of a failure. I mean, fear of
mm-hmm.
not doing well or failure or not living up to the expectation that she thinks is set for her.
Okay. So knowing that, I mean, that's huge. Knowing that that's where that comes from. What's something that you could tell her that might put her mind at ease?
We tell her. You do your best. If you've tried your hardest, if you've gone in for extra help, you've done all the homework, and you don't do well, then we will help you find out why you're not doing well. But if you've tried your best, we're not going to be upset. And that's not
mm-hmm.
acceptable for her. I mean, she still has these expectations that she needs to, that she wants to do it, but she is doing it for us too, so.
Okay, got it. Who has some suggestions?
Okay.
I'm just going to open it up. I have a couple of ideas too, but I just...
Yeah, hi, this is Andrew Wheeler, Kathy's husband. I've been listening.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So this is open, at least for me. So both Kathy and our daughter, Kate, 14, have ADHD.
Uh-huh.
And they cannot give up on arguments. The fusion of them in the room, that neither backs down until someone walks away, but they don't walk away the first minute.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there, and I've sat there saying, what the heck do I do? So what do I do? I listen. Sometimes I ignore, and sometimes I walk away. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
I interject, but I don't think my intercession necessarily works. So I would welcome advice.
Okay. Tell you what, let's wrap up real quick the conversation we were having, just to make sure we don't leave anybody hanging.
Okay, sorry.
And then we'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're good. You're good. So we're looking for a perspective shift or a different story that would be helpful.
Jeremy, I found that when Dennis has a meltdown doing some, homework in a subject or something, that it's mm-hmm. not really about the homework or about the grade. It's about something that happened in the class or a mm-hmm. relationship with a kid in the class. You know, he'll go on and on about the homework and how hard it is and how awful the teacher is, you know, and all this kind of thing. And it'll be this huge meltdown kind of thing. And then come mm-hmm. to find out after everything is, you know, out and all of that, and, you know, he's exhausted and he take a walk and everything like that, I'll find out that some kid in the class is bothering him or, you know, something happened and he was embarrassed. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my, I mean, I can only offer that kind of a perspective.
Yeah, sure, for sure. That's true. That's very true, too. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's just where we've been, so, you know.
Right.
More often times than that, that seems to be the issues. That, I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot of issues around stuff like that. More often times mm-hmm. than that, you know, that's what the key is. So,
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's great.
You're welcome.
And sometimes it's something little at school. It's not even as overt as, you know, someone being mean or something like that. It could be just a sentence that was phrased the wrong way for whatever reason. Our kids, you know, hyper-focus on that and you know, twist it into, particularly our girls with ADHD, you know, they twist it into, I'm a bad person instead of I'm struggling because of my ADHD. They turn it in on themselves, and it's a tough one.
Right, and it's because he's young, he just can't pick that up yet. So it mm-hmm. you know, it comes around to, you know, the homework, I can't get it, I'm not good enough, I didn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. When really it just ends up being, at the end of the day, you know, he was embarrassed, he tripped, he couldn't get his shoelaces tied fast enough, you know, something like that. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
combined with everything else, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep. So. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it is the story that they're telling themselves in their heads. No matter how many times we say, you know, we'll be happy with whatever grades you get as long as you're trying your best, you know, and for whatever reason that's not true for them, or they don't believe it. It's not that they think that we're lying to them. It's just they can't develop, they haven't developed that resource within themselves to trust that. And so they're mm-hmm. telling themselves something completely different than what we're saying to them, or they're hearing something different. And that's
right.
That's a challenge too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, how does that feel?
It's good to hear that somebody else has scenarios like that, but it's fine.
Yeah, okay. Anything in that resonate or shift anything?
It doesn't give me any new, it is a new perspective, but it's, yes, we also have those social issues, but I'll keep working
mm-hmm.
on it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, just stay curious with it. I know you're going to get tired of me saying stay curious. Usually, sometimes then we need to bring in another perspective too, you know, particularly for our kids. You know, maybe we need to not be the person who's the body double. You know, if it's possible to bring somebody else in to be there, sometimes that helps too. But
mm-hmm.
stay with it. We'll figure that one out. All right. So, Andrew, what do you want to have happen?
Okay. So, I would love, I mean, from a selfish point of view, which I think would help both my wife and daughter, I would love one or two or three productive strategies that I can employ in the moment.
Uh-huh.
That would be most helpful for me.
Okay. So here's the challenge. We can't go right to strategies.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
I wish we could, believe me, I do. And I think we've all been there. You know, we're like, fix it. We need to fix it. And as parents, we want to help when we see our partners and, you know, struggling, or our kids struggling, and we want to just dive right in and I can fix this and I can make it better and wave my magic wand and everything's fine. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. And any strategy that I can give you, we can walk through the process that we're talking about today with respect to managing triggers, but it's going to be what works for Kathy and for your daughter, and then what works for you.
and only you guys know the answers to those questions. So,
okay.
In terms of managing you, if we talk about, so we're, I'm not sure how long you've been on the call, but we're you know.
Yeah,
first
no, I've been on most of the call around triggers. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'm just
okay, so
I'm
I won't
trying
go back
to integrate.
To
yeah, I'm trying to integrate
yeah.
all this. Like,
gotcha.
Because I haven't been on the calls all the time, but at any rate.
No, you're good. It's all right. They can be standalone calls, so don't worry. I mean, you don't have to have listened to all the previous calls, but I would say the same thing at any point. And then probably anyone who's been on the calls before, too, would say that, you know, we've got to work through the steps, because if we fast forward to the strategy or the solution, it's going to be the wrong one, and then you're going to be just as frustrated as you were to begin with. So for you, you typically don't get triggered in that scenario, it sounds like.
Well, I don't, actually. I'm just trying to grasp let's let the process unfold.
You're frustrated.
But I'm getting more impatient.
Gotcha.
Yeah, definitely getting more impatient.
Okay. And so what is the story that you're telling yourself? Why can't they recognize that they keep doing this all the time?
Yeah, and doesn't Kathy know how she comes across to Kate, and doesn't Kate understand what she's saying is not, you know, doesn't she respect Mom? I mean, those are the three things.
Okay. Okay. So what if the story that you were telling yourself was something different, something like maybe they, you know, they're stuck in this routine for a reason? Or,
well, I think the underlying needs of, because it really gets back to the needs. I know I went to the strategy. Then I think Kate has a need for her mother to fundamentally love her unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy's need is to see her daughter grow up and get over things,
uh-huh.
honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If I can be very blunt.
No, I think that's good. Yeah, no, I think that's. I think you're right on. I mean, I think that's what's happening is there's a, you know, conflict in values, in Kathy's values that are going on in her head, right? And same for Kate as well. And that's typically when we have the most challenges, is when we've got two values that we hold dear that are in conflict in our heads, and it's difficult to resolve it. Like you said, Kathy's value is she wants her daughter to grow up and be happy and healthy and successful. And then when she's in a scenario where they're locked in battle, she's worried that that's not going to happen. And Kate's worried that if she's not healthy, happy, and successful right now, that her mom's not going to love her anymore. Those are tough ones, right?
So maybe I have a solution. Maybe you could critique this. Maybe what I should do is sit down with both of them in a neutral setting and say, when you're engaging one another, what are your needs around a conflict? So talk about the needs and then talk about the strategies off those needs. And maybe I should facilitate a conversation, not in the moment, but outside of
yes.
the moment.
I think that's a great idea. But I also think starting with how it impacts you might be the best approach.
Okay.
What you see and what you feel and how it hurts you, or, you know, what's happening for you when you see that happen.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Very helpful. That feels great.
Yeah, cool.
Now I got to do
awesome.
It.
Yay. let's throw it out there, guys. Any other suggestions or ideas for Andrew?
Since I think most people on the call are women, do your husbands or partners get involved? I mean, what have you seen successful with the daughter and wife mother thing?
No, I actually was having a bit of a reaction when Jeremy was saying that. And I think that it's a critically smart point for your continued survival, Andrew, to really approach it from a place of, this is how it makes me feel and how it hurts me and how it makes me sad, for, you know, just coming from a real place of love, because, you know, criticism, things that are said in love can feel like criticism if they're not handled really delicately, especially around parenting and parenting a daughter. So I think that's a really, the opener is critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And am I remembering Kathy and Kate, I know Kathy has struggled, or at least she's mentioned a couple times on our calls that she struggled to engage Kate in conversation.
Yes.
Just about
that's
regular
yeah.
run-of-the-mill stuff. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this interaction, you know, it is an interaction, right? And if they're both craving some kind of interaction but not able to figure out a way to engage, you know, on basic things, this is filling that need also. I mean, if you're looking for, I wouldn't say that.
No, I see. Yeah.
But I mean, they miss each other to some extent, and but they're not able to figure out a way to engage in a positive way right now. And
yeah.
Maybe one-on-one you have that conversation. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Andrew, I just wanted to say, Andrew, I just think it's spectacular that you even have the thoughts to even take the time to, you know, address that issue. You know, I think a lot of people would just walk away and come back later, you know, when those things happen in the house. I just think it's spectacular, and I think.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's actually been the best year of my life with my family, because I am not fully there yet, but these issues with the children and my wife, you know, they're going to be addressed in a loving way, but that's my desire, and we're getting some traction. So thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yay for everybody. Cause like we always say, I mean, celebrate the fact that we're on these calls, right? Cause, lots and lots of parents don't make the choice to invest in this time and in this kind of education and help and resources to help their families. And it makes a huge, huge difference, as we've all seen already. So, yay.
Yep.
Right. So we're like at 7 till-ish. And let's just go ahead and go back around and check out. And Andrew, I don't know if you've heard the checkout questions before, but they are, what did you focus on today? And that can be today, like the last 24 hours, or today during our call. What is your aha or your takeaway or your clarity from today? What is a realistic, really important that we choose realistic action steps that we can take based on what we discussed today? And how are you going to set yourself up for success, or what do you need to set yourself up for success with that action step? And so you can take a few seconds if you want to and sort through those questions in your head or write them down, and then just check out when you're ready.
Okay.
This is Jennifer. I'll go really quickly because my aha.
I kind of
got it, which is I'm really going to be thinking about triggers as my son is experiencing and demonstrating them. And so my concrete action steps are going to be to sit down with him and my husband to just kind of talk about this at a time when obviously nothing's happening. And so that's one of my action steps. And then really try to be present this next 2 weeks around having compassion, like we talked about, and just focusing on, you know, helping him manage his triggers, helping me manage my triggers, thinking about my daughter and what she's doing as maybe it's a trigger that's being demonstrated in a funny way, and just really having compassion around all that, and you know, having the kind of holiday that I want to have, and that's really my value, but that doesn't happen when I'm yelling.
Yeah, awesome. Yay. Perfect. Thank you.
Tammy, you want to go?
Oh, sure. I think mine is going to have to be, well, I've set up a lot of strategies and all that kind of thing to handle his meltdowns and all of that. But I think now that he's having some issues being sad and so angry and anxious, and I think that's throwing me off. And I think that I'm reacting too quickly to it, and I need to take a step back before I say anything to him. Because I've really tried to make life a lot. I've let a lot of things go. I've tried to make life a lot less complicated and all of that kind of thing for him. And we've worked on things together. But I think these other complex things come up, and I think I'm just taking them too personally, is what I think. So I think I'm going to just have to take a step back and take a little walk and kind of work it through a little bit before I talk to him. I think that's the issue.
Is there anything that you need to do to set yourself up for success with that, kind of in the moment?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm going to talk to his psychiatrist a little more at length about it and just see if we can get some things, if I can get some things kind of worked out a little bit, and then I can kind of go from there, and then I think it'll be a lot better. I think it just threw me off a little bit, that's all.
No, it's something new like that. It's definitely, definitely worth paying attention to and getting really curious with.
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Andrew, you want to give it a shot?
Sure. Yeah, I've got two. I guess the first aha moment is I really need to identify my triggers. I'm immune to them. I know I have them, but I couldn't even articulate. I couldn't tell you. And I think this work of being intentional around Kate and Kathy with getting them to have a, by lack of a better word, a caucus. I would love to be able to accomplish that before our next call. But the triggers are, I think, are the big thing I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, focus on that. That's great. Awesome. And we're not going to hold you accountable. Don't worry. If you know, the holidays go by and nothing happens and you don't get a chance to really focus on much of anything, that's totally okay. We'll cross that bridge at the next call. So no worries. Okay, Kathleen
exactly.
Had to drop off. Yeah. Cool. And let's see. So this is our last call until next year, which is weird, but awesome, right? Because new year, new beginning. So I want to make sure I wish everybody a happy holiday and remind you to take some time for yourselves and forgive yourselves if things don't go the way we want them to go. And build in some time to enjoy, you know, your partners and your families and just relax because it's all going to be okay. And go see the new Star Wars movie. That's all I have, guys. So, take care. Thanks for being here today. Happy holidays.
Hey Jeremy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had one question.
Bye.
You had referenced a book about anger issues,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you posted it and I missed it or whatever. But if you do, you have the title off the top of your head?
I do. It's What to Do When Your Temper Flares. I posted it in the Lifeline, and I think it's on our website under recommended reading, probably under parenting. And they have a whole series of books.
I emailed about the book list, but I wasn't sure what topic it was under because there was a ton of stuff there. So
I know there was a ton of stuff there. Yeah, I think it's under parenting, but it's What to Do When Your Temper Flares, and it's kind of a goofy looking book, but yeah.
Great. Hey, thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Hey, you too. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.